But we're going to talk about something that I believe is mandatory first and foremost in a believer's life, and that is to understand who you are. And I'm not going to teach on the in Christ instruction through the New Testament. What I'm going to do is I want to show you something biblically as far as what the Bible teaches about your uniqueness for just a short time. I want you to understand this, because I think what happens is because life and how we're raised and trained up and how we're born in this life, it's almost like we're like everything else. We're copies, we're just remanufactured people on this earth. And the thing about Scripture is it establishes that that's not a true fact of who you personally are. And I understand, there are all kinds of people that, are born on this earth, accidents, and even their parents will say, these two are playing, you're an accident. That makes you feel real good, I'm the accident. Those two were planned out. Where'd he come from? And I'm not saying that's me, but I'm just saying. The point is it can be very difficult because of the natural training we have as far as who we grow up and see ourselves as. The new creation demands new understanding. You understand this? The new creation, who you truly are, demands new understanding. And the problem is we go through this, quote, Christian life, and we don't even realize the truth of the Bible, the truth of the Word of God. And the truth of the Word of God is literally what transforms us. It's the only thing that'll change you. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose for your life. But what he did is he established the perfected you at the new birth. Once you received Jesus, you became perfect. Religion affects truth. And the key to your success is to understand that truth, spiritual truth and natural truth, align with each other. So you can understand majority of this just by understanding natural truths in our world. You can understand there's certain things that happen in every country. It's because it's a natural principle which aligns to a spiritual truth. You can look at an orange tree here and an orange tree in Africa, it's going to produce oranges. I mean, it's not going to be like this orange is a different color than this orange. It's oranges. It's through the DNA. Do you understand that? And by that DNA, it produces according to that DNA, if it likes it or not. And that's the understanding that we all need to have. Now, we are born on this earth, if we like it or not, we're born with a sin nature. And this is the problem of, quote, religion, is because they don't understand sin nature. They understand the actions of the sin nature, but not sin nature. In other words, an apple produces apples because of its nature. So when we are born on this earth, we're born with a sin nature, then we ultimately start producing out of that nature all the actions of what would be called sins. Now, you could be a good sinner or a bad sinner, and everybody understands what that means. You can be someone that's just so morally good, but you don't need a savior because you're so awesome. But we know that's not true. Or it can just be so morally bankrupt and you're so evil that you can't have a savior, which is not true. So what we have is we have this dilemma that we're all trained in, and then we get into the new life, which is a new creation. Jesus says you're born again. That is a truth. That is a natural truth and a spiritual truth, but it's with our spirit. So our spirit becomes born again, which now we have to operate on just as if we are born on this earth. We need information to react, communicate, live on this planet. Now, no matter where I live on this planet, I'm going to live exactly the same way as everybody else. I'm going to speak a different language probably, but I'm going to live the same way. Food goes in the mouth and comes out those places, right? No matter where you live. Now, the types of food might be different, but it's still food enters the mouth and then exits. I might speak a different language, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to see like everybody else sees. I'm going to hear like everybody else hears. I'm going to touch like everybody else touches. I'm going to taste like everybody else tastes. So that's a principle. So we become born again, new creations. Now our responsibility is to what? Line up to that new family. This is the dilemma of the faith is we've got so many different types of families because we have so many different teachings to the family. Guess what? That's a natural principle, right? How many grew up in a neighborhood and everybody acted the same? No. You have all kinds of differences. So what we do is we have to be more conformed to this word to where we become looking the same in relationship to the word of God. That's why religion has affected the picture of truth so bad, because we're all under the heading of Christianity. And then you got a million different people believing a million different things. That's crazy, isn't it? And we have one Bible. How can this be? Well, that's what the enemy's plan was. He wants to make sure there's mega differences, because then it affects people in what God has ordained you to live. And that is a powerful life. We're all to live. I mean, in the beginning, God planned them out to rule and reign. They submitted to the enemy. They lost authority, which from the Old Testament to the New, we see it. God says it. God calls the devil the god of this world. So we see it from his words, the words of Jesus. So we understand that this world has been flipped according to the way God planned it. Then Jesus comes on the scene and gives the ability for us to enter in the way it should have been at the beginning. That's his plan. He wants, you know, we see the picture of it when, remember, Adam and Eve, they're in a fallen state hiding. But what happens? God comes as normal. Nothing's changed. He comes in the cool of the day, in the time that he wants to be on this planet, walking around. And we don't know what he's doing. He could be singing. He could be humming, enjoying life, whatever the case may be. But God is doing what he does in the midst of what? A horrible act. So there's a picture you need to look at, pay attention to. He didn't zoom down in a crash of lightning with thunder and going, I'm about to kill someone. Nothing changed with him. Pretty powerful, isn't it? But all of a sudden you're hearing what? You're hearing the word. I'm not giving you no new insight, no new revelation. I'm just speaking exactly what the word shows you. And then how do people flip it? Because people are people. They mess things up. So what we do is we got to look at this word and allow this word to help you today, okay? You guys ready for this? All right. Now you can see the title, Quit Comparing, Start Becoming. My goodness, that is a powerful statement. Because I believe because of how we're brought up in this world, we're brought up in a world that is continuously comparing. We're continuously wanting to be like Mike, you know? We're wanting to be that, like that other person, like whoever. And I understand it. I'm not trying to say it, that's a demonic act. I'm just saying that's in our nature. And there's a positive side to it when you're trying to be like the better. And then there's a negative side when you're trying to be like the worst. And it's all dependent on who you're focusing on. So what we have to do is just realize that. Don't blow it out of proportion. Just realize that. It's like me personally in my first 2 years of high school, I was hanging around good people. And I went to class. I did homework. I ate my lunch in the school cafeteria. Everything was good. And then the summer after my high school, summer of high school between sophomore and junior, I got some new friends. And these new friends, they weren't like my old friends. So now my junior year, I'm hardly going to school. I'm doing things that I wouldn't have done before. Now you would think, what, why would you have that transition? Well, the guys I was hanging with weren't like losers or gangsters or anything. They were actually very successful in sports, and just like I was and things like that. They aligned with certain things that I focused in a life. But because they had a different mindset of how they play and how they live life, it rubbed off on me. And ultimately, it affected me in a negative way, my junior, senior year. Actually, no, my junior, senior year and my college year. I mean, I got a scholarship and got kicked off the team because I didn't go to school. I mean, isn't that stupid? I mean, you're going to play a sport, but you decide, I don't want to go. And they don't care if you go or not. They just know you paid. I mean, isn't that stupid? That's okay, you can say it. I've been stupid a lot of times in my life. So, but I mean, don't call me stupid because then I'm going to jack you over. No, I'm just kidding. The thing is, I mean, do you guys hear what I'm saying? So I in the natural, now I didn't know Jesus. I don't have no connection with God. But I'm showing you this pattern because you guys all know it. Everybody knows it. And so what we do is we have to realize, yeah, that is a true statement that these type of influences, well, it doesn't have to be just a natural person. In today's world, it could be TikTok. It could be, I'm telling you. Why? Because if you read the scripture never talks of the world as the same. It talks about the world system and the culture that you live in. So if God's speaking the word of God in the 40s and 50s, I guarantee you it has a different relevance, but the same word compared to today. I remember I did a statistic in youth ministry years ago. And what I did is I listed, I've been doing statistics forever in ministry. I just love it. So I've got this, actually this was at a conference. So I'm teaching, I don't know, there's a couple thousand teens and college-age people. So I've got them all there, and I'm teaching this, and I'm teaching about how you view things doesn't necessarily mean it's the reality of things. And in that, I was going through this, it was pretty awesome teaching, but I said, let me give you some statistics on high school, the issues at high school. And I went through the list of what do high schools deal with as in infractions, school infractions in the 50s. And I read the list. And it was like running in halls. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It was things that you're looking at going, are you kidding me? And this was statistically sound. And it were things that were, you know, talking during class. And then I made the list of today during then, and three of them were felonies. Now, can you imagine that? And you look at, and now that was, let me see, that was 89 when I did that conference. Now, can you imagine that? So they're hearing this and they're going, what? Now, if I gave statistics, the ones in 89 would be tame compared to what's going on now. But the thing is it's all in relation to how is this system, the God of this world, operating it. We think it's us, we're doing it. No. There is a spiritual dark agenda. These men and whoever are not smart enough to do what they're doing. To be able to accomplish some of the deviant actions that they are today that even can affect the world are not based upon, hey, I think we should do this. They're being influenced, and they don't know it. But we do, amen? So we're going to pay attention to this information so that we can receive this truth and recognize that my responsibility is to quit hanging out the people I shouldn't be hanging around. Let's hang out the right people, the ones that are moving the right direction, because that's how success is. Do you guys follow? That's how success is. You have to have someone, please, get over you and accept this. You have a responsibility to be checked, corrected. There's nothing wrong. People wear their emotions, you know, on their sleeve, and it's like, oh, no, you're saying something bad to me. Oh, that's so terrible. You need to get over it. If I'm talking to you, then wear it. But wear it to the position of, yeah, that's me. I'm going to do something about it. Just own up to it, because everybody in here in the natural, you understand that principle. It's weird how you get in church and it's like, oh, don't do that. Don't say that. And there's no reason or purpose that I'm saying anything to hurt you, but to help you. So if the shoe fits, put it on. But don't wear it. Just put it on. Yep, that fits me. Then I got to deal with something. I'm going to do with it. I remember in sixth grade, I was the highest scorer on our team. And I went to junior high. And I would like to say highest, but I wasn't. I was second highest scorer. And I shoot the basketball, two hands at an angle like this. And that's how I shot the ball. The only reason why I shot it there is because in elementary school, I wasn't strong enough to use one hand for a basketball at a 10-foot shot. So I shot, and I would play, and I would always shoot that way. Freshman year, I'm shooting that way. And I'm shooting with that, and the coach looks at me like, McCluskey, what are you doing? And I go, that's my shot. And I was making the shots, but in a game, I would get owned. There's no way in the world I could use that type of shot in real competitive basketball. And so he took me in practice and said, you can't play that way. I go, but I make it. He goes, no, listen to me. What you're doing is wrong, and it looks terrible. And he's telling me this. I could have got emotional and go, oh, that's so terrible. I wouldn't have been playing basketball. And so he told me, this is what we're going to do. And he got me, and he got my hand and got my arms, got everything where I was shooting. So I'd have to do 100 shots before practice and 100 shots after practice. And I needed to do 100 shots every day at my house if I wanted to play. And then he said, and then once you do that, you're going to do it left-handed. So, all right, so I started doing that. And I started practicing. Until I got good with my right and my left. The thing is I had to be corrected. Now, did it carry me to a certain point in life? Yeah, sure did. See, there's certain things that you do right now that carried you to a certain point in life. But now it's time that there's going to be some correction. So what are you going to do about it? Throw a fit? Well, you throw a fit, guarantee you, you're going to get older than sixth grade and they ain't going to let you play because you're still shooting like a sixth grader and you're 21 years old. It don't work that way. So what you have to do is you have to receive the instruction, receive correction, receive reproof, receive rebuke. Why? Because whom God loves, that's what he does. God loves you. So the word in that love is going to make statements that might step on your toe. It might prick a nerve. Or it might even pat you on your little pumpy, going, you're doing a good job. Amen? And I like it when it happens that way. But most of the time, it doesn't. Most of the time, I'm getting the bada. That's spanking, by the way. All right? So God intentionally created you unique. In Psalms 139, 13 and 14, it says this. Now listen, this is God's word to you. You alone created my inner being. You knitted me together inside my mother. I will give thanks to you because I have been so amazingly and miraculously made. Your works are miraculous, and my soul is fully aware of this. God made you unique. You are not a copy. That, isn't that crazy that for all the people on this planet, from the days of beginning fingerprints and acknowledging fingerprints till today, there's never been two that are the same. How, that is crazy. You can't do that by accident. It's like, if we came from animals, monkeys, man, we'd all have the same. I mean, just, this is crazy. How does that happen? Because we're created by God in his likeness and his image, and each one of you were created uniquely, if you're an accident or not. And that's what I need you to understand. See, I will show you in scripture, but ultimately you need to understand something. You were known before you were even made. If you want to know how that happens and why, I don't have an answer. It's just true. Those are the ones we won't know. Now, once we're in heaven, then God is probably going to share this with us and go, oh, okay, I remember being here. No, I don't know. I mean, this is crazy, isn't it? But the point of the matter is, it's a fact that we were before we are. Spiritual, always natural. Now, I'm not trying to create another doctrine of we're all, a lot of us are all up there living in heaven, and pretty soon we're going, when's my turn? When's my? I don't know anything other than what his word says, okay? God knew you. Praise God for that, okay? But if you look at, I got three more proofs of it. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Is that crazy? Those are the scriptures you hear and you're sort of like, okay, let's move on to something else because it's too crazy. Anybody ever do that? You're reading something and you're like going, all right, wow. I mean, there's a whole bunch. I remember as you start growing in, understanding the Father's love for you, understanding how much God loves for you, it's like beyond. And then it takes time to finally get it. But you have to understand something. You're listening to perfect truth concerning you, but it's got to go through all your garbage. It's got to go through your pains, your hurts. It's got to go through all the natural training of your parents and your vision of what love is, and it could have been messed up love. And now that love of God, which doesn't even look like the natural love, it's hard to get that in focus, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you right now, you have to learn it. You have to. Otherwise, the enemy has a foothold in your life. He's going to be able to steal from you. If he can get you to believe that God is angry and mad at you and he doesn't love you anymore, or that love is conditional, he's got you. It's. I'm telling you, I'm just being truthful with you. Now, I want you to understand that's a lie of what you're believing. So you need to believe the truth about yourself. So it's starting in the beginning of how you are created and designed by God. God knew you personally before you even existed. That's pretty powerful, amen? The second one is 1 Corinthians 12, this is through 14 and 18. It says this, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. But now God has set the members, each one of them. Now this is in comparisons of the physical body, and this is the body of Christ, the body of Jesus. All right? This is how God relates to it, and this is how we can understand it. So you actually Romans 10, I believe it's Romans 10, 12, somewhere like that. Romans 10, verses 12 through 18 or somewhere like that. He talks about, he really gets in depth about the physical attributes of a body and the position of gifts. And he's lining up to who we are as a body and the gifts and the importance of the gifts, that there's weaker and stronger. And here in Corinthians, it's the same thing. He says that the body is not one member. This body is not one member. It has hands, fingers. I mean, the hand's powerful, but it needs fingers, and the fingers need a thumb. I mean, and you go on and on and on of the body. So there's this, all this a part of the body that we all want, all the part of this body. and every part has a function. And sometimes there's some parts of your body that aren't being used as much, but they're important, right? And there's some that they're being used a whole lot, then they're like going, man, I wish I had some help. But the either way is that's how the body works. And then he references it to the body. And then he says that he personally, God personally placed you in this body. You don't get saved, then God goes, it's just whatever. Okay, wherever it lands, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, there. God knew you before his mother's womb. You're miraculously made, and he knows you, and he placed you. Do you get this? That's why the devil wants you to stay ignorant, or he wants you confused by religion, because you're very powerful. You don't know it, but you are, and you're very, very important. So to understand the word, then and only then are you going to be able to start operating according to this truth. And that's so important. Amen? All right. And number three is Ephesians 2:10. This is pretty amazing. I've taught this a while back, but for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We have a purpose. And that word workmanship is poiama. And it's a pretty interesting word because it literally means to create something. But when you look at it in the Greek, it's used as a crafted work, a masterpiece, or a unique creation. Is that something? So the Bible's saying that God, you are masterfully created. You are unique. When you start hearing these words, you start, because again, you're not defining your life that way. Most of the things you're dealing with are the things you've done. So it could be messed up. It could be, you know, lacking. It could be, you know, all kinds, whatever the cause. I mean, there's all kinds of messes that we have in our life that God's trying to say, I need you to focus in on the truth. Focus in on the truth. Why is this important? Because ultimately, this is what it comes down to. Your belief and your behavior are going to dictate your life. If it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. It's the way it is. And the only way you can change that is through believing differently. It only comes through new information. I am not going to shoot a basketball correctly, even though I watched, you know, the Suns play and how they shot. I'm not even in connection to that stuff. I'm in connection to how I do it and how I make the shot. But ultimately, I'm getting someone correct me saying, that was then, this is now. You won't even be able to make a team shooting like that. I could have thrown a fit. That's not nice. You're mean. I could have overridden him and say, I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to fail. Now, I can get, you know, all, you know, oh, you hurt my feelings and making fun of my shot. Whatever, I'm not going to be able to play. That's what it comes down to. That's my fault. No one else's fault. Because I was corrected and I received the correction. The word of God is not trying to hurt you. It's trying to get you to be able to play in the game that you're playing now. That's all the word's doing. It's trying to say, listen, you were messed up. Now you come into this life, this new family. There's some new instruction for you. Quit judging yourself tied to your past. That's affecting your future. You have to start believing what this says about you. No matter what, people. That's why I like, you know, when James talks about the mirror, he's saying, man, you got to look at the mirror of the Word of God. Are you looking at the mirror? You're going to see what you see. If it's, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever, you're going to see what you see. But when we change and we start looking at the mirror of God, his word, all of a sudden that ugly, that good, the bad, whatever, is now being transformed because I'm seeing the word of God. And it's changing the image of who I am. And that's what we all need. We need image change. I mean, I can be looking at the mirror and thinking, man, I've got some really good-looking life moving on at this point. I guarantee you there are many times I look at that mirror and go, ooh, that's got to change. It will never not be in the position where I don't need it, where everything's perfect. It's the natural life doesn't work that way. Do you follow me? It doesn't work that way. So we just connect with that. He says, we are his workmanship created for a purpose, for good works. So we're not mass produced. We're literally God looked at us and created his perfection, and then we came. Pretty powerful. Amen? Pretty powerful. So why is this important? Okay, because our old nature, our old identity is trained to conform. Okay, we're trained to conform. Just understand that. You grow up in this life, you conform. That's what you have to just recognize it. You grow up in this life by conforming. And that word's very, very, very important. Now, 1 Peter 1:14 says this, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in your ignorance. So it's telling me the ability to not conform back to an old way is be obedient children. An obedient child is going to be what? A child that listens and obeys. So their concept of life is tied to, I'm told this, I do this. Everybody follow me? It's obedient children. They're told to do something. Now, if they, lose their way on the way of doing it or whatever, that's children. I used to see my kids do that. Sometimes to get something done correctly, you have to turn cartoons off, tell them, and it would get done quicker. Because I've seen them with cartoons on, telling them this is what they knew need to do. They're hearing me, and all of a sudden, cartoon. I'm like going, whoa, that's not your dad. That's little Einstein. The thing is you would see that in action. Why? Because, again, it's not because they're trying to rebel. It's because at where they're at in life, they're easily distracted. So I don't look at it and go, you demonic child, you rebellious little, no, you don't do that. Now, when they get older and they do stuff like that, then you know there's a problem. Amen? Then you know there's a problem. But see, this is what we do. We understand. Say understand. That's not a dirty word. It's okay. We understand. Yeah, so there are people in church, some that are new. You're new to the faith. You know, you're less than a year old or even months or whatever. So our responsibility is to believe the biggest and best and expect great things for you. But if I'm trying to get you to act like me, when you're a baby and I'm an adult, that's stupidity. That's what churches do all the time. That's what church people do all the time. Now, I guarantee you this. If you're 18 and you act like a toddler, you got a problem and it needs fixed. But if you're a child and that's your age in the sense of I'm new to the faith, then there should be an understanding that you're not going to be doing correct things a lot. There's going to be a lot of times you're going to mess up. And when you do, as adult, mature believers, we're going to help you according to where you're at in your walk. That's a perfect church. Man, I would love our church to be exactly like that, but we strive to. That's what I hope we would try to do. Amen? Yes. See, only 8 believe that. But that's what I'm saying. It's church, you know. I mean, the Old Testament makes it clear about people. And it lines people with when a bulls are in the stall, there's a whole lot of crap. That's it. I mean, that's in the Bible, all right? And I'm trying to use good language. But it's saying, listen, we got a lot of poop around because we got people. That's life. And some people don't know to use the toilet. They're pooping anywhere. And you just got to understand that. So moving off of the Discovery Channel, we'll move on to this one. All right. So as obedient children, do not be conformed to evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conform is a very important term to you to understand. It says, don't be conformed. 1 John 2:15 says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now remember, we came out of the world. We're a part of it. We came out of the world. We used to be a part of it. We came out of the world, and now we're part of his kingdom. It says, so when I'm talking about world, it's what I was talking about earlier. It's a system, the culture. So the world in the Greek is not the world in general. It's a system or the culture you live in right now. So don't allow yourself to be operating by this system, what it's dictating to you. And which is interesting because here's 1 John 5:19. We know, everybody say we know. Yeah. You know, when I've made these statements over the years and people get offended because most people don't know this. A lot, you know, there are a lot that do, but most don't. They don't understand that Satan is the god of this world. And they don't like to hear that. Even Jesus says it, but they don't like to hear it. Like, nah, he's not. Jesus is. No, he isn't. The devil is the god of this world. Now, he's not the god over me because I'm not a part of this world now. Do you follow me? That you have to understand, there is a spiritual thing going out there. There's a evil one and there's a good one. And we're supposed to line up to that good one while we're living in the evil one. Welcome to walking in the spirit, not fulfilled lust of the flesh. All right. He says, do not be love the world or anything in the world, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Well, we 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world system lies under the sway of the wicked one. We love God. We're connected to the kingdom. But this world system, the culture, is connected to Satan. All right? We got it. We know. We understand this. We have the knowledge to know that this system is being manipulated by the devil. Everybody? Then he says, for everything in this world system, everybody say world system, say culture. For everything in this culture is tied to these three areas. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Let me ask something. What happened in the fall with Adam and Eve? If you look at what Eve went through, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Three things. The three things that the devil used at the very beginning is his foundation of getting us to fail. It's the same exact thing. He wants you tied to the world system. So if you look at this, it says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, what did she do? She looked at the tree, for it was good for food. That's what it says. And she saw, and it was good for food. She hasn't ate anything of it. That's the lust of the flesh. Then she says, the lust of the eyes. I mean, the word says, and the lust of the eyes. And the scripture says, and it was pleasant to her eyes. This is what's going on with Eve. She's going, oh, it looks good for food. It's pleasant to my eyes. And then it says, and the pride of life. What was that part? And its desire to make one wise. Three. That's why baseball has three strikes and you're out. I'm just kidding. Kinda. Anyway, That is pretty cool, though, huh? I mean, the Eve thing and the baseball thing. Might as well throw that in there. So you've got the devil operating, attacking Eve. Strike one, strike two, strike three, out. Then you got the world system working on those three same things. Everything you're dealing with life is going to line up with one of those. Do you know that? You might think, no, it's this, and that. No, it's lined up with one of these. It's lined up with one of these three. So it's something that you need to just recognize and have victory over. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. Amen? So we're seeing now there's this picture of conforming, right? So I was conformed to this world. So I lived a life of deception. I was blinded to the truth. The enemy, you know, operated. Now, this is the dilemma we have is I wasn't serving Satan. I didn't go to Satanist clubs. But that's the problem is that's what the... See, religion wants you to look at it that way, but the devil wants you to look at in a whole different view. That, no, you didn't, did you? So you're good. And he's got you. I mean, other people go to extreme in certain things, but the point is you're already part of his family. Through you're born on this earth. That's it. You're born in the sin nature. If you focus and major on that, you'll quit looking at the apples that are growing on the tree and recognize the only reason why they're growing on the tree is because it's an apple tree. Apple trees produce apples. Well, when you're born on this earth, you have sin nature. Sin nature produces sins. Very simple, huh? And then I become born again. I have a new nature. That's what God said. I'm a new creation. 1 John 3:9 actually says the seed of God, spermata, it's where we get the word sperm. The seed of God entered into the spirit and I became born again. How many knew that scripture? Think about it. How does your natural birth? It has to take seed, egg, then the production, right? You are adults, right? Y'all looking like, well, why are you going that way? Use the stork. All right. So, I mean, that's a natural way of entering into this life. And then God says, you have to be born again. Same terminology as natural birth. You're born again, your spirit, but how do you get born again? There has to be a seed. And the seed is, I believe in Jesus. I believe in you. I believe what I'm hearing and I receive you in my life. The seed of God enters in and your spirit becomes born again. Now you are new birth. You're one with God because you're one with the family of God. You're one with the Spirit of God. Jesus, you are together. You're one. That's why he said, we are now the body of Christ. Head Jesus, we are now in this. We're one. Now, this is all connected to what? The spiritual area. That's who the real you is. The reason why we don't experience that part of us is because we never renew my mind. Because I've been conformed for years. Now I got to get unconformed by changing what I think, how I think. Let me help you. I'm going to give you some insight on. See, I believe what's happening is we got a lot of people. I'm talking about in the churches all over the world, and even in here, where you're having problems or issues, it's because you haven't separated yourself. You're still hanging on to the old ways. And I get it. Everybody has a process of getting through that. It's when you get stuck and stay is when you're trapped by Satan. And here you are born again, but the devil's got you because you're allowing yourself to stay. God is never, you're unique. You're made in perfection to him. And so you have a responsibility to live that life that he designed you to live. But see, you don't know it because you still have issues. You're still dealing with the old you. All of us have. All of us have to go through that. But some get through it. How? Because some receive it. Have ears to hear, and you're like going, I get it. I can tell you right now, if you had a pretty good upbringing and the family life was pretty decent, and then you receive Jesus, you have a tendency to get connected quicker. But if you got a story to tell and you got a life that's pretty messed up and involves, you know, police and jail and whatever, and messes and evil and destruction, you have a difficulty that's different than the other people. Or if you're brought up religiously, where when you receive Jesus, I was born that way. I mean, I've heard people say that all my life. And you're looking at them going, oh boy, there's religion right there. It is. And the thing is all those things can affect you if you aren't going what the Word of God says, and that is receiving the Word of God and applying it. And so we have all these different things that can affect it. But what I'm seeing is I don't preach on sin, and I never want to get to a place where I'm just like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But I do want a revelation of correction. Because you could be doing something where you don't think it's that bad, but it could be. And if we don't talk about it, you'll never know. And we can't level up in life that way. And I want us all to, I was going to use the word successful and be a success, but you know what? I want us all to be significant. There's a teaching there. But that's what I want. I want us to be significant in life to where we're making an impact. And that's just being helped on the way. I would have loved to got a lot of help early on in my walk. I mean, I was game for anything. I mean, if they would say, don't do it that way, I was going, okay. See, I had to get religionized to start fighting that, which is a sad thing. Early on in my walk is they say, don't do this, do it this way, do it that way. I was like, okay, whatever. I'll do it exactly, whatever you say. How do I do it? You know, if you raise your hands this way and jiggle it this way, I'm going to do it too. Is that how we do it? Is that how we do it? I'm going to do it right. And so my attitude is I want to do all that. But as you get around church people, especially ones that have been in church a long time, they have the tendency to tell you their opinions. And when you're talking about your zeal and passion for Jesus, like going, oh, another Bible study, I'll go. And they're going to go, you should chill down, because once you realize this, you realize you don't need to do all that stuff anymore. You're just a new believer. Everything's new. You'll grow up out of that. I've had them talk that way to me. And so I thought that I'm acting like an immature baby. I'm still excited about this stuff. Maybe I need to tone it down. And so ultimately, that's what happened. You start going, no, I want to be spiritual like them. Which they were as dumb as doorknobs, but that's what religious people are. They don't know it because they're deceived. And so I started going through that process, going to Bible college, and you conform in a way where it's not in your intention. Because I'm doing this because I want more of God. I want to do more for God. I need to know more. I want to win. And ultimately, you start realizing that the more men are involved, people are involved, the more sometimes it can get really screwy. And I'm not saying every professor at school was bad or every teaching was wrong, but a lot of it was. The point is where's my heart? And ultimately, that's what I try to tell people. My heart, it protected me. Because ultimately, my heart, hands down, is Jesus number one. I love Jesus. And I want to do my best. I want to serve him. I do not want to do anything to cross the line outside of what he wants for me. Now, I could get caught up in wacko goofiness and all of a sudden, and my journey's been like this and up like this and this and this, but my heart has never changed, and it never will. It is sold out. Sold out. Ultimately, I got to the place where I needed to be, and now I've got things aligned that are connected to this heart. And that's a good place to be. But ultimately, we need to hear these things. So I'm going to give you 7 biblical signs of someone that's blending into the culture. So you might not even know you're blending in. It's not a difficult task, and it's not like we go through life and there's a door that says, enter this and there's the devil. Wouldn't that be great? And then we're like going, oh, I'm not going to enter that door, and da 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 da. But life isn't that way. The door's got all kinds of everything that you're like going, that's a cool looking door, man. Oh my gosh, what's that door playing? Man, everything about that door smells good. And that door says everything but enter, I'm Satan. But man, you are attracted to that door. And ultimately, because you don't know better, you go walking in that door. And it feels good, it smells good, it tastes good. Everything about it is awesome. It just, yeah, I love this door. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. That's sin. It's good for a season, but then it's going to show the reality of what it is. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's the devil. So when you walked in that door that was all flashy and all cool and all this, and everybody does it, and it's the way it is, and you went walking through that, the other side of the door said, got you. But we ain't looking at that. We just keep going down this way. But the first thing I want to look at is truth becomes relative instead of biblical. That's the beginning. We start allowing truth to be watered down or changeable. And when you start doing that is when you start your downward spiral. This is the key, and I want you to understand that. Everybody love life, pay attention, everybody out there, live stream and ultimately YouTube, hear this. You need to understand something. Truth, real truth doesn't care if you believe it or not. It stays truth. It doesn't care if it hurts your feelings or goes against your opinions. It's truth. 1 + 1 = 2, and it stands up boldly and says it. And it says, you don't want to believe it? Whatever. But it's true. And every natural principle operates that same way. And it says, well, you don't have to believe it, but I'm the truth. It's like gravity. It says, well, I'm a bird. Today I feel like a bird. And I'm just going to fly all over the place. I'm going to get up on top of this church and jump off and fly like a bird. Fly like an eagle. That could be a good song. So I'm going to jump off. Gravity's going to go. Fly, birdie. Straight down. Why? Because gravity's true. You might not have felt it. It might have offended you. You might just wake up in the morning going, I'm anti-gravity. I don't believe in gravity. I don't believe in gravity. You're like a flat earther. I mean, and I'm being nice. Those are some of the stupid people on planet Earth. I mean, you literally having rockets. You get on a plane, you can tell it ain't flat. But I believe a lot of these people just want to do it to get likes from other dumb people. It's society we live in. But to honestly believe this stuff, it means you're cuckoo. There's a lot of things missing in you. But the thing is truth doesn't care. It's going to keep operating, and it won't stop. This word will set you free. That's what it does. But you got to receive it. So here, I want you to understand, the sign of truth become relative instead of biblical, it starts when you start determining right by your feelings. This is something that I see in people that are brought up religiously. Religious people will always have constant battle of truth from what they have been taught. And because of religion, they will fight it. It's the same exact picture of Jesus truth, communicating truth, and their pure instructional religion always battling that truth to where they want to kill truth. Well, I have religious people and their emotions, they want to kill me. Not necessarily truly kill me, but they want to kill me in thought, kill me in voice, because that's what religion does. It lines up to its father, steal, kill, and destroy. And again, they hear these things, they can't stand it. But why? If you recognize things in you that operate in a hurtful way toward you, then you need to get fixed, healing, wholeness. That's all. It's no big deal. Like I said, I went through a point of time of being religionized. I went through religion without knowing I was religious because I was trained the wrong way. Not my fault. I went there. I went to these churches. I went to this way. Why? Because I love Jesus. I want to go to church. But I didn't know. I thought all churches taught the same thing. That's how dumb I was. I don't know nothing. But no one did it out of, we want to screw your life up, or we're going to be, no one did it on an evil heart. But I don't look at it and say, well, you know, it's just the way it is. I don't fight for my right to be wrong. But religion's pride is so puffed up. And that's why they could never hear truth. What we have to do is we have to overcome that and be victorious over it and win. And you know what? Who you become? Someone that's anti-religion. You become that person. You used to be that. Exactly. We all used to be goofy. We all used to be that. But don't fight for your right to stay these ways. Get free. Get free. Get free. Amen? Get free. So we want to be free, and we don't want to start transforming truth. But my feelings, my thoughts. No, no, no. Just receive truth. I don't want to hear your opinion. This is truth. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. That's the day we live in right now. Listen, how many understand that culture changes? Now, I don't care what you believe about today. 10 years from now, it's going to be different. And 20 years before this, it was different. And 20 years before that, it was different. I'm telling you right now, culture changes. Truth does not change. Culture changes. So what you think, you know, you thinking the right thing, nah, it doesn't work that way. So it's so important to understand that, okay? So important to understand that. Second thing is desire for acceptance becomes greater than desire to please God. This is an issue on identity. This is why we really want to, we want you to get connected to our classes, the core classes, which are coming up soon, next, after summer, right? After summer, we do the core classes. I want you to get a foundation of the elementary basic teaching of who you are in Christ. It is the most important thing you can get, most important. So I want you to get that information so you can start growing in new identity, new identity, new identity. That's the only way you're going to be able to change. It's the only way. So we've got these classes. It's only, what, six, seven? I don't know. Oh, five. See, it's only five. All right? Five. That's it. Five short courses, classes that will help you. Help you a lot. It'll help you even in the teaching that we do here. A person that becomes more concerned about fitting in than standing for truth. That is, I'm sad to say, majority of the body of Christ. They're so concerned about fitting in. Everybody talks their story and their life without being ashamed. Christians, quote, forget the word Christian, believers are some of the wimpiest people when it comes to this. Because I don't know about you, but I remember going to work and talking my story about what happened last night and that week and being all bragging about it. And everybody's talking their story. But you got one person that talks a story about Jesus and everybody's like going, how dare you? Well, you're just telling me about you throwing up because of all the tequila you drank at that club the other day. And you were telling me how great it was and how much money you lost and blah, 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 blah. You're talking your story and yours had pain. Now I want to talk my story and I'm not allowed. You know what created that? Religion. You know why? Because we couldn't talk our story. We had to blast them with scripture. We had to judge them. We had to say, y'all are going to burn in hell. That, I'm telling you, that's why people don't want to hear it. Because people don't want to hear your super spiritual life. But they do want to hear truth. Oh my God, they want to hear truth. They want to hear that stuff you're learning is working in your life, but you're not bringing it to them through a religious picture. You're getting them life. Yeah, I've been there, done that. Yeah, I remember sitting around next to the toilet, puking my guts out, saying I'll never drink again. And then 6 hours later, how stupid is that? Now I know you guys don't want to say that's pretty stupid, but I am. I was. I quit. I don't do that anymore. Especially as a pastor, you know, you figure, I got to quit doing this stuff. No, but I understand. I understand that life. I understand everything about that. I understand the pulls, the different types of pulls. I get it. But you know what is going to change people's lives? Not me throwing out, I'm Pastor Dan. Not be throwing out, I'm church, I'm spiritual, I know the word. None of that's going to help anybody. But that life of truth I live is an attractive light that bugs go to. Just like that friend at work that never preached at me, never judged me, never even said anything negative toward me, but lived a life that had peace and joy. And he was like, oh, dude, you're going to tell your dirty stories here in our work meeting, and everybody's going to sit there and laugh, and the boss is going to laugh, and I'm just going to sit there and smile like, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to go, oh, stop it. That's what he did. He was just that stupid little grin I still see on his face. It bothered me because no one realized this, but I was the next bug to hit that light. I knew it was happening in here. And I just like, oh. But I'd watch him and I'd watch him and he never, ever, ever acted in a way that gave me a chance to go, I'd see, I'm out. You know why? Because he wasn't religious. He showed his life of truth living in him. He didn't blast me. If he wasn't dishonest. Hey, what'd you do Sunday? I went to church. You go to church all the time? He said, well, as much as I can, I try to be faithful in it. I mean, it changed my life. That's what he would do. And I'd like, whatever, church stuff. I mean, really, I was sort of hoping he'd go further. He never went further. Like, and if you don't receive Jesus, you're going to burn in hell, loser. I mean, he never said that. The other Christian guy did that I worked with. And I had no desire, no drive, nothing to learn anything about it from him. But this guy I did. And ultimately, here it is. This is a story because of Chris. We need a ton more Chris's out there in life. Now I have more points, but this was a one-time story, so it's Memorial Day weekend, and it's time for us to quit. I want us to arise. Don't stand up. I want us to arise because that there's a song that says, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen. It's a powerful song, but in here, I see it as a testimony because the glory of the Lord risen in us is this transformed life. It's a life that says, yeah, I've done there, been there. I used to be that way. I mean, I'm not perfect. There's some things I still need to change. And to be able to talk in a way where people can sit down and listen. I promise you, you don't have to lean toward, I got to get them to receive Jesus. The Holy Spirit will. It will happen. You just get the right story out in how you're communicating concerning you, not in a judgmental way, just in a life-changing way, I promise you, the Holy Spirit will start working in his or her heart. And he will compel. He will do that work. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's going to start working in their lives. Now, if you end the sale and it becomes, you know, you're the one that walks them with the Jesus, then good for you, but don't matter. It don't matter who. It matters, plant that seed in the ground. Plant the seed in the ground, and let's get that thing growing. Let's get some lives being changed. Can you guys do that with me? Listen, I can go over more points of what we need to be aware of as we're conformed, but you know what? I think you already know. I think you already know the things you need to be doing and the things you're doing should not be. It's you already know. I shouldn't be spending all time on, you know, getting lost in TikTok. I shouldn't be spending all my time, you know, watching this or reading this, and I'm eliminating the things that I could be doing as far as building my faith up, building my walk with God up. Listen, I believe it takes less spiritual feeding to align to superpower than in the natural, it takes more. So when it comes down to it, I don't think it takes, I need to read 6-7 hours a day of the Bible. I don't believe so. I believe you need to get some of it, a little of it, in your heart. And from there, it's able to start building and growing. Now, in natural world, things take long times. Things think, you know, you got to read longer, you got to watch longer, you got to do what? That's a length of time. But I'm not going to attribute spiritual things and say, well, if you read this long, you should be reading this long. And if you watch this long, you should be watching this long. That's crazy, isn't it? But there are things we need to do to help ourselves. We need to be praying. Praying in Greek meaning communicating to God. We need to do it. You need the special time. You need to talk to God all day long about anything and everything. Talk to him about anything and everything. But you do need your one special time where it's just you and him and you're in that time with him. Not just talking all the time, but listening because he wants to talk to you. All right? You got to commit to that. Every day, get your time alone with God. I'm not going to put a watch on you. I'm not going to say how long. You need to personally engage in it and realize natural principle, spiritual truth. And that is you want to spend a lot of time with people you love. You need to spend a lot of time with him, okay? And then you got to meditate on the word. Don't eliminate the word. Don't hear Sunday and then go home. And that's the last time you listen to anything that has to do with God's word. That's why you're not growing. That's why you're not getting change. And it ain't going to happen. You're not going to get change. And you're not going to grow. Why? Because this is your food. The word of God calls it food. Jesus says, man shall not live, women shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is your food. It's time. Listen, some of you eating good. Not this, in the natural. You eating good. And everything represents that. It proves you eating good. And you're not ashamed of eating good. And you're focused in on some more than others. We need to be this way. We need to start buffet time, all right? We need some weight gain. Everybody, you good with that? Let's do this thing. Let's have some victory going. Father, we thank you for the word. You're awesome. We love you so much. God, just in my heart, I know you have so much love and compassion for us, your people. And I just delight in that because I truly feel that presence of love and compassion over your people. And I believe that your heart is thrilled when the word is taught and where people are receiving it. And it's like, We're standing up. We're arising within. And I believe it puts a smile on your face. And not that you're frowning, but I believe that there are times when you just smile. Father, I thank you for Love Life and all those that are listening to this message. And I thank you that we're going to commit. We're committing to the right things. We've been committed for wrong for so long. It's time for us to commit for things that are going to bring health and wholeness. That's going to get us to live correctly in the fruit of the Spirit, where we have peace, joy, love, and all the things that are so beneficial to life will start growing and maturing in us. It's already there. We just got to grow it up. So, Father, it's time for us to water it, to give it life, to speak over it, and to start operating according to your word as a believer and not religious Christianity, but your word as a believer. And we're going to be able to, through the wisdom of God, the wisdom of you in our lives, be able to communicate to other people to where it doesn't turn them off, but that they literally will have a drive and a desire to hear more of our story. We're going to be an open book of Jesus. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, guys, you're awesome. Have a wonderful week.